June 20, 2020, it's a lot from Pedro Show.
Yeah.
Opt for Pedro Show. Happy month. No. Happy Saturday. I should say what we start off the show. What did we play first? We played John Coltrane doing Naima, the alternative version from the heavyweight champ. And then Easy Love with No One Like You. I've been doing three shows a week. That's why I got mixed up. Also, the Quentin Quarantino mode. Yeah, kind of Brother Matt at the Love Grotto 3 miles south of me. So, but not totally man alone because you're aboard through the wonders of the Skype software from those Estonian incredible software engineers. So, Justine, which you make music as Easy Love.
Uh-huh.
Your earliest musical recollection, please.
I think it was playing piano as a child. I took piano lessons when I was about 5 years old. So just learning classical music. Yeah. And then my parents would play records. You know, they played the Beatles and the Kinks and just like a lot of different types of music. My dad is a bass player, so he was always playing stand-up bass. And I don't know actually if I'm thinking of my actual memories or if I'm thinking of my memories of looking at photos and looking at videos of myself as a child. You know, sometimes you can't tell, so.
Let me explain. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know what I mean? This is just,
I think, about your journey.
Now, where was this?
In Riverside.
Okay, Inland Empire.
Yeah.
And so your pop's a bass man, so there's instruments in the pad. Obviously, there was a piano.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Now, we've had other people on the show talk about their piano lesson experience. Sometimes it's a fucking nightmare that almost makes them hate music.
Yeah, it wasn't like that for me.
I've noticed that it seems to be about the teacher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I had a great experience with it. I learned how to play by ear, and so I kind of didn't want to learn to read music anymore because I already knew how to kind of listen and play, so I kind of lost interest at that point. And
you liked the teacher until it started getting, now it's time to learn how to read.
Yeah, I started getting more school-like, more studying that I had to be doing, and that's when I decided that I was done with it and not interested anymore, so.
It's funny how they call it playing.
Mm-hmm.
Not really playing up. Okay, you said school. What about in school? Were you in the choir or the marching band?
No, I actually, I wasn't really involved with music until later on, probably about high school. I wasn't in band or anything. I didn't, I wasn't a part of that. But I just happened to...
Well, one of the reasons I asked that, Justine, is because they've cut arts and music out of a lot of schools. So even though you weren't involved, I was wondering if they still had the program.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, okay. There was the band kids. And
can I ask you, what was the first record you bought yourself?
I think it was maybe like Linkin Park or something in middle school. Or maybe it was Spice Girls.
Okay. What about the first gig you went and saw?
The first gig. I think the first gig that I went and saw intentionally was the White Stripes at the Greek when I was in high school.
Now, you got some music. Besides your pop, there's other music people in your family, right?
Yeah, my sister. She's an amazing musician and... played a huge part in me starting to play in bands because she started a band when we were very young and I hopped on with her and that's kind of how I got started.
Now, you didn't play piano though, right?
No, I played drums.
Now, how'd you get on drums? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things that I wasn't passionate about it, but my sister and her friend wanted to start a band, and they needed a drummer. And so we were always hanging out around that time of my life. And so I was like, okay, I'll learn drums.
I'm curious. Was there a drum set at the pad?
You know, no. My dad just bought me. He was nice enough to buy me a little kit to practice on so we could start our band. And I just kind of learned the basics and taught myself from there.
Ah, so no teacher, no lessons.
Yeah, no.
And also no stage, because I've had a lot of drummers on the show. In fact, last episode, usually they have a stage of pots and pans and shit.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Even Elvin Jones, if you watch that different drummer documentary on YouTube.com, mm-hmm. he talks about beating on the fucking pots and pans.
Oh my god!
So his sister helps him out with money, with his paper route, and they go and buy a kit.
Mm-hmm. No, I have, my family's really supportive, and so he went out and got me one, and it was pretty, it wasn't the best, you know, it was kind of shitty, but it did the job, and I was able to learn, and...
I'm curious, because he's a bass man, and what your sister was what, singing and playing guitar?
Yeah.
So you guys also needed a bass player. Why didn't he put you on bass?
Oh, well, it was my sister and our friend Mia, and so it was us three girls.
Oh, Mia was so on bass.
And it's funny because when I told my parents that you were interviewing me, they were like, oh, we saw him play in Corona, and it's because our friend Mia, her dad was also in a band, the Hitchhikers, I believe, and they open for you at the show. And so it's kind of a funny connection. Her dad was like really into rock and roll. So, that's kind of what gave her that background. And
what did he play, Justine?
He played bass.
Ah, another bass player.
I believe. Right. Yeah. He played bass. And then, and then Mia was our bass player. She's amazing.
Now, what was this band called?
The Hitchhikers.
No. You, me, and your sister.
Oh, yeah. We were called the Scandells.
The Scandells?
The Scandells.
Oh,
yeah.
Scandells.
With a C, yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Scandells.
And did you guys play gigs?
Yeah, we did. We did a lot of gigs.
Tell me about the first one.
We played at our local coffee shop in Riverside called Coffee Depot. And we played 5 songs. And our family and friends were there, and
was it scary?
I honestly don't remember. I think I definitely had to have been scared because I have stage fright. So, but I was, I'm back on the drum, so I don't have the full attention isn't on me. I'm kind of get to hide in the back. I got to do that for a while, so that's kind of how I got used to being on stage.
Also build up your rhythm, man. I think if you can play drums, you can play all the other instruments.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely noticed that with guitar. I'm not an amazing guitar player, but just having the rhythm, there's so much you can do with just the rhythm, and it doesn't really matter what notes you're hitting, just, it's the most important thing. So I feel lucky that I fell into that because that wasn't my intention. I wasn't, planning to become a musician, planning to join bands and to tour. It wasn't ever my intention, or my vision or my dream, but it turned out to, really work out, and I got to experience a lot. And, I'm like really grateful that it, sort of was by chance.
Okay. I want to play, Treat Me Mean.
You can protest all you want, get you out of the house. You might make new friends, stop being a dormouse. Be sure to wear a mask, make a cutting edge sign. But wear your running shoes, they might keep you from dying. But will you protest for years and years? Protest for decades, centuries. Will you protest for years? You've nothing else to do. Your jobs are mostly gone. There's no more school. Helicopters overhead all day and night. It's the new soundtrack, apocalypse life. You can protest all you want till the cows come home. But what really changes in the extra long term? Police will shoot people, that's what they're trained to do. But a sheriff just got slaughtered in sleepy Santa Cruz. $600 million guns in America, take heed. More guns than people in the land of the free. And we need to all go green with our energy. As Greta Thunberg said, it's our only destiny. People go hungry every single day. Yet millions of tons of food still gets thrown away. It's blamed on supply chains that had a big disrupt. When tourism, hotels, restaurants went belly up. When no one's got a job, will rent forgiveness come? Will there be UBI at work in Finland? We wonder what's our future really going to be. Some tech jobs, restaurant work, but lots of delivery. Bring back the WPA, there's plenty to do. Get paid for making art, make the world beautiful. Universal health care, forgive all student loans. They do this in Europe, why not here at home? We need new laws like no more chokeholds. We need wealth tax. Nothing left to lose. We need more education for equality. We need black executives and women CEOs. But will you protest till the end of time? Protest to everything is both yours and mine. Everything equality.
Dark sunglasses in the neon. smashing televisions on the rooftop late at night. Black and orange skies above us, folks below us getting high. Hard to stay in the here and now. They say to focus on the present. I'm afraid I don't know how, 'cause the present sucks.
Pedro show, yeah, treat me mean. Usually that's, I remember a Minuteman, somebody gave me words for a tune in with no title, so I titled it, Please Don't Be Gentle With Me.
And mm-hmm.
Maybe, because usually that's not a usual request, you know, unless you're in
yeah.
the SNM or something.
Yeah, this was kind of like when you are interested in someone only because they are not interested in you. That sort of situation. When they start to become too nice, when they start to treat you really well and start to become too invested in you, and you're like, no, you need to like make me work a little bit for this. You know, we need to like have this little game just for a little while, and then just like feel you out and, you know, that sort of thing.
Sure, sure. Then we had V Vale with the protest song Revised, Damon Smith from his solo album I Sunbone, Barry Berko on Tel Aviv with Kebby Behold the Dunes, Bilge Pump out of Leeds, England. I think this is the 36th song I've played by these guys in the last year. Face the Thunder. I love them. They're a good band. Also the band before them, Solanke. That was an incredible band. Same drummer, man, I think. Case the lead after that with the Ghost, Case from Black Flag. And now she's on her own, doing her own bass stuff. New Orphan Asylum for Spirited Deer Children from the new Deerhoof album. Dietrich and Barnes, that's John Dietrich from Deerhoof with Tim Barnes, great cat, Special Questions. Got to do an album with both those guys called the Hand of Man Band. Maya, who just turned 25, Lather Me Up with Inner Turmoil. It's another strange request. And finally, Never Alone from Easy Love. And people, if you're wondering about the Easy Love sequence from today's Watt from Pedro show, Justine provided the sequence. So, back to your story. So, you're helping your sister out. You said something happened. You didn't really get involved with your own music till high school?
Actually, just recently. I mean, 6 years ago, maybe, I started writing my own songs. So, it was pretty recent. I toured in a lot of other bands before, actually, writing on my own.
So, playing drums with your sister, you got the skills up on the drums enough mm-hmm. to go play drums for other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I played drums with my sister. We started another band after the scandals called Summer Twins, and that was the longest project that I was involved in, and it was Chelsea's music, my sister Chelsea, and we were a band for 10 years, and after that, I started playing bass. I think I had a lot of good
experience.
I'm
kind of curious about bass. What was your first bass?
I think it was my dad's jazz bass. It was this huge, wooden jazz bass, but I think it was Fender jazz bass.
It was a wooden one.
Yeah. It was really heavy. I just remember it was really heavy.
Yeah, but your pop he was also a stand-up player, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. That's even bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 41-inch scale. Usually U.S. guys play 3/4. But Fender's 34-inch. But for a woman, yeah, kind of huge. Even for
me. And a small like teenager. I was, you know, kind of like my back would hurt.
Did you ever think of short scale?
No. I mean, I didn't know what that was at the time. Probably
they're kind of smaller.
I have one now.
Because you know, I use a short scale for gigs because of sore hands.
Mm-hmm.
But I record with big ones because you sit down, so you don't have to reach far. So, what was it called? Sunside Twins?
Summer Twins.
Summer Twins? Did you play bass or still drums in that band?
I was playing drums in Summer Twins.
Okay. So you move over to bass for what? Other people other than your sister? Okay.
Yeah, I joined a group called Michael Ray and the Wobegons. It was sort of rockabilly, and turned into kind of like psychedelic rock. That was really fun. And then I joined a band called Winter, which is an amazing band. It's my friend Samira Winter, and it's shoegaze, pop, rock. And I was in that band for a couple of years, and I would use pedals. It was my first experience using pedals.
And pedals with a bass.
Yeah, because she was really into having guitar pedals, and she, you know, kind of encouraged me to start using them for my bass, and that was a really good start for me to start using them for my guitar because I wasn't familiar with it. It was a little bit intimidating to me because I just didn't, you know, I wasn't knowledgeable on it, and it kind of like opened my mind to that whole world. It also made it more it was more fun because there was more of a challenge. There's more you have to think about when you're on stage.
Yeah.
And I was singing and playing bass, and then you know, it hit my drive pedal for one part of the song, and then kick it off, and then I would use my delay pedal sometimes, and I would use a loop pedal sometimes and record stuff and kind of, you know, we would have endings and transitions where we would put it in reverse or just kind of do whatever we wanted, just kind of jam and just come up with things on the spot. And that was a really that was really fun.
So these pedals, they help you kind of get creative.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then that kind of ran its course. You wanted to go on your own.
Yeah, I just have so much inside of me, and it's really scary. It's a really scary thing to do, because, you know, all the attention is on. I'm a very anxious person, and being in the spotlight, you know, everything's kind of weighing. I felt that everything weighed on me when I was, you know, when I had my own sort of project, and there was more pressure in that sense. But also, it feels great to to be singing your songs in front of a crowd and to have a band backing you up. And it's just, you know, there's nothing really like that. But
tell me about the first time. When was the first time you fronted the band?
It was probably, you know, I don't know years at this point, but it was probably 5 years ago, and I played at another local coffee shop in Riverside called Back to the Grind, which is pretty much the hub there. We played there a lot as kids, so it was very comfortable and it was very nice, but yeah, I was definitely very nervous and...
Different than playing drums for your sister.
Yeah, it's so different. Yeah.
But you think worth it?
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. You know, there's so much inside of me that, you know, and just like being able to hear all the instruments and write all of the parts. And I feel like there's so much I have to create still, and I feel like there's endless, like just endless things that I can create and share with the world. And I'm just navigating that right now and trying to figure out how I can, do my best to, keep going and creating and not to have anxiety around it, not, you know, allow myself to be vulnerable. Because that's the most important thing about music is feeling that vulnerability from others. And, you know, you really feel a connection to that. So it's really healing on both ends. I feel like it's really healing for me to be able to give that.
And you feel being a front woman, more possibilities than be a drummer woman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're very, very interesting. We're at the end of the first hour. June 20, 2020 edition of Mafra Peace Show. So special guest Justine Brown. Hold tight for hour two. June 20, 2020. It's the second hour of the Live from Pedro Show.
Sometimes I don't miss my home when I'm out there on the so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Pedro Show. We start off the second hour with Easy Love, Wander Feeler. Was Easy Love always the name of your solo band?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know, people go through different names.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes, like me, when it's something where I'm doing all, you know, like you said, all the parts, the shot caller, I'll use my own name as part of the band name so you know who to blame. Okay, oh, after that, we had Chassons. That's Howie. He's in France now. Can't get back in England. Scotland with Top Six. Fuzz Bat 2. No, I think it's Top Six. Yeah, okay. I put both tiles. He gave me two tunes, and I think I put both tiles in the same fucking tune like an idiot. I got to fix that. Sorry, Howie. Acid Free from Dan Klukas, Jeb Bishop, Damon Smith. And there's Damon Smith again. And Matt Crane. Thick from Amarillo with Diaz for the Devil. Next week we got fucking Schizofuel as guest. Visible Chains from Old Days. That's got Carla Bozovich with Joey 8. Salminio Youth, Kevin Woods on the bass. Crane's involved with that, but not Matt Crane. We'll hear a little bit of Crane in third hour. Iggy and the Stooges, yes, Dead Rockstar. This is live in Tokyo, 2004, Shibuya acts. And finally, Golden Hour from Easy Love. What's your songwriting process, Justine? Do you make demos?
Yeah, I make demos on my phone, actually. And it's really easy and convenient. I use an iRig sometimes if I want to plug my guitar in, but mostly I just use the mic on my phone and just plug my headphones in. And if I have an idea, I just kind of sing it out or I play it on my guitar. And sometimes I'll loop it on the app. I'll play it to a metronome, and then sometimes I'll kind of loop it to arrange it in a certain way and to kind of jam along with it.
And then what? From there?
Yeah.
Because you're thinking of the other parts, right? For the other band members.
Yeah. Yeah. So usually, I mean, I've only released one album, but usually I will have complete recorded songs to give to the band. And so it'll be the demos first, and then I'll record the songs, and then teach them to the band, and then release them.
So you're saying in between the phone period, you take them to a four track or something like a garage band or something and add more stuff?
No, I do everything on my phone before I go into the studio.
Oh, so you talk them through the part. You don't actually play the bass and the drums?
No, I do. I do, yeah. I play all the parts on GarageBand.
Oh, so not on the phone. Mm-hmm. Although there is GarageBand now for
on the
phones,
phone.
Huh?
On the phone, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all on the phone.
In fact, you know, I played something from Barry Virko, right, that Tel Aviv guy. He gave me a whole album he did just on that GarageBand.
Yeah. It's so...
He used virtual instruments.
Yeah. It's, you know, it sounds great sometimes.
It was pretty good. It was a whole album, you know. It was a whole world that he created without any other people, without any other devices, any other instruments.
And you could do that anywhere. Wow. You can, you know, you could be
And that's part
traveling.
Of the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not all bad new days, people. There's some technology that's...
Yeah, it's so accessible. I feel like anyone can start a band, and anyone can start creating music. You know, even if you're not a musician, I feel like just with what we have, like the technology that we have these days, it's really inspiring to think about. And I hope that people realize how easy it is and that they can start creating in that way, you know?
Now, once you teach the people in the band the parts, because of the way they play, do things kind of change a little bit to fit their personality?
Yeah, definitely. Everyone has a different feel. And
even though it's sprung out of your mind, it develops through their man or woman handling it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to play Your Smile here.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
man by my kitchen window, a soldier's trench on a busy street. I am dangerously sober a minute ago. I watch the stream pour by behind the bus stop by the corner. That is my vantage point. I view from my little kitchen window the sky, and 1105 dominates, a ponderous two-story apartment building. I look up and try to see progress. The fresh air seeps in rather nicely. A steady day in the state of things. I have hugged my little fortress for 16 years, peered at an angle at many folks. It seems no one sees me. With my little bush and chest-height advantage, a nice way to break in the day. I am among the lower numbers on the block. In fact, 1105 is the lowest one. I am at a crossroads. This is a mixed neighborhood. I love that my place that is pointed upward, too.
Watch for Pedro show. Yeah, that was your smile at the start of that chunk of music. Easy Love. And, okay, if that was always the name, where did it come from?
It was my friend Michael Ray. He thought of it. So he just kind of brought it up one day. Why don't you call your band Easy Love? And I was like, wow, that's great. And nobody has that name. So.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
I just kind of took it. Yeah, thanks, Michael.
Right. It's kind of a borrowed thing, but, you know, it's a good one. Joe Brewer with 1105 and me. September 3rd, 2011, improvised piece from Adriana de los Santos and Andrea Pisano and Emmy Miller and Ava Mendoza. She's an incredible guitar player, Ava. She's been on the show a couple times. Tripod, that's via Grux up in the city. Tripod Jimmy, after that with New Spartans. Peter Lochner, Rock It Down, some Fleetwood. Round Eye, brand new out of Shanghai. Oh, these are Lowe guys, they're foreigner guys that live there. And they came to Pedro, and I produced this, actually. Billy Stevenson from Sense mixed at Magaman. And then finally, Easy Love with Forget About Love. So forget about hard love, forget about easy love, forget about love. I mean, do you like to talk about your songs? Or are you, because some people, hey, what? I already said it in the song. Why do I have to talk about the song?
Yeah, I do. I like to talk about it.
Okay, so have I asked you about that one?
Yeah, it's not that interesting. I was single and just frustrated that I hadn't met, you know, someone because I felt lonely and just that's how it is when you always want what you don't have. So there was a moment during that time when I was single and just and I was dating around and just, nothing was really working out. And so just like, I'll just forget, like, I just want to forget about this. It's too hard. Like getting your heart broken and, breaking other people's hearts. And, it's a lot of, emotional toil that you have to go through. Yeah. So that's kind of where that song came from.
Now the words and the connect to the music, like, for example, what comes first with you?
For me, it's the melodies. Sometimes the words will come with the melodies, but it's mostly I'll think of the vocal melody and guitar chords for a verse, and sometimes I'll hear a chorus really soon after, and that's kind of just like the basis where I build, and I build up from there.
And titles last?
Yeah, titles last.
So many people I talk to, I ask about that because of what? I have to start with titles or I have no fucking focus.
Yeah, wow.
Nobody I know does that.
Yeah, for me it's like when I'm mastering the album, they're like, we need a title for this song. I'm like, oh, okay, let me think of something. Let me come up with something. But it's also, I feel that it's also important, so I take it seriously
And do you compose on the guitar mostly?
Yeah, mostly on guitar.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever composed on bass?
I have never started a song on bass.
Because that's about 90% of my songs.
Yeah. I've been, I always tell myself I need to experiment. I need to start. I started songs, I think, on drums.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you really want to experiment, compose on a drum set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chico Hamilton in the 60s tried to get songwriter. They said the drummers can't get songwriter credits.
Oh, wow.
In those days. That's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad you agree. Yeah. I'm always interested in the process because songs are such a trip, you know? It's sort of like writing, right? There's only so many words, but you can still be very original without inventing one new word.
Yeah. It's endless. Endless possibilities.
Right, possibilities, yeah.
It's overwhelming sometimes, and then sometimes you just sit there and you're like, there's too much I can do, so, like, I'm not going to do it. I can't even do anything right now. It's just, you know, I get into that.
You know when you cook pasta?
Mm-hmm.
Then, what's that called, the colander?
Mm-hmm.
you got to strain it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's simplifying. It's all about simplifying and getting to the core of the song, what's most important. You don't want to add too many frills.
No, but you know, I've been doing a lot of cooking, right, because we're in quarantino mode.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And this thing about reducing, right, if you got too much water, you want the gravy to get thicker, you cook it more, right?
Uh-huh.
Cook the water out, right? You get it thicker.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
we're at the end of the second hour of 2/20, 2020. Special guest, Justine Brown. Hold tight for hour three. 2/20, 2020. That's trippy to say that. It's the third hour of the Love from Pedro show.
When you first met me, I was so impressing. You were down at my feet, smoking cigarettes to think. I was along for the ride, expectations.
is a stare on jaded with a slave dressed in rags of sorrow. Will you lay the day beside? Well, I'm waiting on the ashes of a lady I never knew, and I'm wasting away like matches burning down to the spire of dreams. Waking up to beg or borrow this sunshine, this one more night come to a close. Bye.
Kind of set me free. Set me free, set me free, set me free. Set me free, set me free, set me free.
For Pedro Show, we start off the third hour with Easy Love doing Cool Type. Cool Type. Not like typing at the typewriter, right?
No.
More like the noun, not the
like
verb.
Not like a font.
Or not the verb, the noun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about a guy that I would consider a cool a cool guy, like attractive.
Steve McQueen.
Yeah, just like very cool. Like you want to get to know them, and you know, I ended up in a short relationship with this person, and didn't work out. I was sort of dumped, but like more ghosted. That's more of a thing these days. People don't really want to be honest and just tell you like, hey, this isn't working out. And so that you're kind of left hanging. You're like, oh, maybe there's still a chance with this person. I really have so much fun with them. And
oh, so like you're dangling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's frustrating.
Yes.
And you need to tell people straight up, hey, I'm sorry, but like, this isn't working out. Like we shouldn't date anymore. I don't know why people can't just say that. So I was frustrated and I wrote this song while I was on tour. I had just gotten off the phone with him.
Oh, is it easy to write on tour? For me, it's impossible.
It's not that easy. I do a little bit of it. I remember in this instance, I just like had so much feeling and I was alone and I just got in the car and just played my guitar and just recorded a little idea. And, that became this song, which is my favorite song on the album.
Ah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. And then we heard Hysteria from Ill. These ladies in England gave me their 4-woman quartet. Then Jump to the Conclusions by Symbolic Romance, that's got Crane. Board of Education by Born Shitsters out of Fukuoka. I mean, Mod Wasif with Rainbones. And then Black Moon Tape, this is some Nomad Eel, the label here at Pedro. The Rider, No Brains, No Balls from Zigzags. Set Me Free, Scott H. Burham. That's not Nomad Eel. And then finally, Easy Love with Leave Me. That sounds like a request, too.
Yeah, this was about the same person, actually.
You picked the sequence, though. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So kind of a bookend. Bookends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. What about Sweatpants?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the next one I want to play. Want me to play?
I wrote this with my roommates during quarantine, during the beginning of quarantine.
So kind of a diary entry.
Yeah.
Peace. like in that moment I first saw you, I see you again. Your fingers folding and unfolding in mine, secretly whispering, embracing, laughing, our skin tingling. A glimpse of freckles and the ocean's eyes twinkling. A memory pale and graceful as a ghost. Oh love, along the banks we stroll, wandering lost into an unending forest. Engulfed in darkness we feel our way blind, trusting each other as brief shadows, entwined in an unknown purpose. Oh child, sweet ephemeral child.
Underground mugshots. Yeah, Taylor Mead's party, folks, was a battleground of southern witches, a cross-section of underground mugshots. Let me tell you, I was there. Him with crazy questions pulled out of my dirty Johnny Thunders wig, right? I pulled him right out of my dirty Johnny Thunders wig, huh? So he would not leave early. Yeah, I pulled him out of the Johnny Thunders wig so Taylor would not cut out early. He said, "Ooh, I like you. You're more like it." We leaned into each other on the couch. We leaned into each other on the couch. We locked the others. We locked the others. We locked the others out. They all got close and quiet in that red and black and black and red Manhattan apartment. and black and red, red and black and red, Manhattan apartment. Yeah. Debbie Harry didn't pay a call. The Ramones' first album cover, Photo Proof, was framed and begging the wall to keep cool. Keep cool. The Ramones' first album cover, Photo Proof, was framed and begging the wall to keep cool. The Great Mead started playing Pockets Pool. The Great Mead, Taylor that is, started playing Pocket Pool with his rigor mortis cat in mind. 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 Bored to death by the truck stop wind chimes, hanging from a lamp. Hanging from a lamp, dragged all the way from W-S-NC. Yeah, he was bored to death by truck stop wind chimes that were hanging from a lamp that was dragged all the way from W-S-NC. And morose as a lipstick dog spot in the lineup, straddling the Dead Sea. Yes, hip and morose as a lipstick dog spot in the lineup. The lineup that was straddling the Dead Sea. Company, we openly discussed jumping out a window eventually. Yeah, in droll disbelief of our present company, Taylor and I openly discussed jumping out the window eventually, if only to escape the lackluster parade of identity. Yeah, if only to escape the lackluster parade of identity. Yeah, if only to escape the lackluster parade of identity. If only to escape, if only to escape the lackluster parade of identity. When you escape the lackluster parade of identity. When you escape the fucking lackluster parade of identity, this is what it sounds like. Fake out. Thank you.
Pedro Show, last music for this edition. You just heard Fucked Up. Before that was Lackluster Parade Identity from Old Man Fuck You out of Knoxville. Poor Luther's Bones. That's Garth and his boy, Alex. Elixir. Before that, Zola Jesus. Upstate Wisconsin Tower. And we started off with Sweatpants. And Justine was enlightening me to the fact that was written during this quit and quarantino mode, where they're all living together and the drums are set up in the living. Why not? She says she don't collaborate much, but with this one she did. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Justine, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me at easylovemusic.com or Instagram. I'm on Instagram.
Well, you probably got links at your own site to all those other telephone poles,
yeah,
where you put flyers. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What about Fucked Up? Let's talk about that one.
Yeah, that one I recorded entirely on my phone through GarageBand using an iRig. And
not demo. I mean, this is the actual baby, right?
Yeah, that's the actual song. But I didn't actually go to a studio to make that one, and I mastered it using a website called Lander, L-A-N-D-R, and it's pretty awesome because you can just master any of your songs for $6 or $10, and just I wanted to get the levels right so that people can listen comfortably, and this one was just another frustration with relationships, with a relationship that I had with someone. That's the core of my songwriting during those last couple of years.
I was going to say, maybe, because it sounds like there's a common theme going through this, right? But maybe that's just this part of the journey.
You know what I mean?
Maybe future records won't be like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like for my future, it's going to be... I'm in a steady relationship now, so it's going to be focused more on the world and what's happening around me, not so much of my own, trivial kind of, I want to make more of an impact. I want to be more brave about speaking up about injustices and, I don't want to be so shy about that because, I think it's a scary thing to do, but it's also really important. It's a scary thing to try to express because you don't want to express it in the wrong way. You don't want to offend anyone. You don't have the same, horrible experiences that other people have. And I really just want to open myself up more to that instead of, just writing. I was writing a lot about relationships. And which is good. It was a part of my life. I was traveling a lot, so I also felt like this freedom from touring, and that was a different part of my life. I was sort of just going with the flow, and I wasn't really focused on myself and my goals and what I want to do for myself, which it was, you know, I was doing a lot for myself. I was experiencing these amazing, you know, places and people and learning a lot. So it definitely was a journey that I needed to have to get to this point where now I'm ready to start the journey to, you know, empower myself. You know, I was learning from all these other people.
Well, earlier I was asking you about your process of songwriting and mm-hmm. talking about the words and the music, and you were telling me kind of the music was more important, or that came
yeah.
first. But
uh-huh.
now you're thinking more about words?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I guess for me, music has always been powerful in a sense where you don't have to always listen to the words, but when you do actually listen and they speak to you, it has kind of a bigger impact. So maybe get when you hear like a powerful piece of poetry, it's a different way to be inspired. And I kind of just want to explore these other ways of expressing myself. And though the music part it'll always be a part of me, just creating melodies is so healing on its own. But I feel like it can get to another level if I incorporate more, you know, work on the lyrics a little more.
Have you ever had the experience of getting the words wrong? You heard somebody sing words and you got them, you found out later you weren't hearing the right words?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you still dug it?
Oh, yeah.
For
yeah.
example, when I was more younger, Purple Haze, right, Jimmy?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that's not what he said. It was, he kissed the sky.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Creedence, too. You know, Bad Moon Rising? Hey, the bathroom's on the right. No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's so funny how you, like when I was younger and I was really into Bjork, and there's a song she has called Cocoon, I think, and I think it references, like, a sexual encounter, but when I was listening to it, I didn't pick that up. And I think the lyric was, like, he's still inside me or something. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, inside my head. And, like, I think I posted it to my MySpace or something. And my friend's like, you know that's about sex, right? And I was, like, so embarrassed. I was like, oh, my God. Oh,
you thought
God,
it was about caterpillars and pupas, and, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the amazing thing about words. They can have layers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can connect. You know, as a child listening to music, you don't know what they're saying, but you can still groove to the song, and it gets you moving and, you know, heals you, no matter what, you know, what, no matter what they're saying. So it's very powerful.
There's something about putting the two together, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Justine, it has been a great honor to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
I can't wait for your next record, the one that's more outside with its words.
Yeah.
But this is a great one, too, though.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I love how this one came out. I'm really stoked on it. I'm so excited to share. It's coming out on July 10th.
Right. And I want to thank Evan Taylor for the connect, because that's mm-hmm. righteous. He's a great drummer, man. So keep on keeping on, okay?
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Wait.
Thanks
okay.
so much for having me.
Okay. People, June 20, 2020, edition of Wapapito Show. Keep your powder dry.